All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a specially scheduled meeting of the Coordinating Committee on Friday, September 4th. It's 5:38 Pacific Standard Time, 8:38 Eastern Standard Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm the current chair slash secretary of the PNB Coordinating Committee. We're going to start by taking the roll and then looking at approving our minutes of September 2nd, and then we'll take a look at a draft agenda for this meeting.
Tracy, can I say one thing, because I'm going to dash in from my computer. I'm here for the roll. This is Arlene, and I read the minutes, and I didn't see any problems. So,
thank you.
I'll be right back. I'm just grabbing my computer.
Okay. So continuing with the roll from Arlene Engelhardt, LaVarn Williams. Was here. Okay. Joe Manzala. Effia Wangaza. George Ryder.
I'm here.
Okay. Richard Uzel.
Here.
Rico Ross. Alonzo Brown. Nia Beriaco.
Present.
Okay. I'm back.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy Rosenberg, myself, here. So that makes five. We do have quorum.
And here comes LaVarn back. Is Otis still there?
Yeah, we have quorum without LaVarn, but she was with us before, and I'm sure that she'll join us again in a minute. So we'll be quorum plus one.
Here. I'm here.
Okay. Great. And we didn't have Otis tonight for the stream. We had Brian Shirtsuki, and he put us on and departed.
Oh, I thought that was Otis. Okay. I'm not feeling so bad. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. So the first order of business is just to take a look at the September minutes, September 2nd. They were emailed out, I think, yesterday. I will put in a slight disclaimer that for that actual meeting, I was on the road. I was moving, so I did have to transcribe them from some scribbled notes. So I apologize if they're a little less organized than they have been in the past. But the question is, does anyone have any modifications, or does someone want to make a motion to approve them as they are?
Did you get my message that that somewhere about halfway through it was kind of garbled? It didn't make sense.
I did, and I took the point. Maybe you could identify the particular places, and we could fix it right now.
Well,
are you near a computer to do that?
I'm looking for it.
Okay.
I think it was where you were talking about. Well, I'm not going to do that because that relies on my memory.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Let me bring up the document and maybe I can figure out what we should do.
It's where you're talking about the hours of executive session.
Okay, hold on. Okay, hours of these. So that's pretty far down. Yeah, okay. This is what I wrote. I was trying to sort of track the conversation that we had proposed Friday 9 to 12 and Sunday 9 to 11. The question was whether that was enough executive session. Should we add Saturday 9 to 12 too? Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'll just change it to the plan is.
Yeah, well, yeah, just put what those hours are about before you start talking about the hours.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see. From a procedural point of view, we can do a couple things. I can change some text and resend it out to everybody, and we could simply approve them next time. Or I could agree that I am taking the intent of Richard's modification, and we can sort of approve them conditionally. And if Richard doesn't like what I wrote, we can reopen them next time.
No, I'm sure I love what you wrote. I'll move that they're passed as amended.
Okay. And if for any reason you don't, I'll send them out again. We can just reopen it at the next meeting and fix it again.
Yeah, there's no problem.
Right. Okay. Any objection to approving the minutes as non-specifically amended?
Well, I'd like to say that my motion to strike the words bad singing was approved and that was struck.
Yes. is that not in the minutes?
No, it wasn't. It just said it made a motion to move it, but it didn't say anything about approving it.
It really was bad singing, though.
Okay, the language that I used was George made a motion, and the motion to approve the agenda as amended passed without objection. I meant that the amendment was to strike the words bad singing.
Oh, okay, I get it. Yes, okay, good. Yes, okay, good. Good.
Okay. So it sounds like we're okay with the minutes, and Richard, if you could just look over whatever I change it to and, you know, make sure that it lives up to your intent, and we should be fine.
Cool.
Okay, the draft agenda for tonight was pretty simple. It had any sort of last-minute New York City logistical concerns, and I think that also extends as far as the agenda, so maybe we'll divide that. And the second item was Houston. My thought was that Richard would be talking more about the retreat plan, but it sounds like that's not happening. So I think it would just be a question of who the point person is going to be and, you know, the first steps that they're going to take.
Okay.
Does that sound like an okay agenda with those three items? New York City logistics, New York City agenda, first steps for Houston.
Yes. That sounds fine.
Anybody want to add anything? Okay. So for New York City logistics, maybe Nia, you could just give us a quick check-in because you weren't at the last meeting. Report back and see if there's any issues that you need to bring up or just let us all know what's going on.
Okay. There aren't any issues. It's a matter of just letting you know what's going on. The deposit was paid, so that's confirmed. The rooming list has been done. I asked people to please let me know whether or not they need rides to and from the different airports or train stations. So that today had a 3 p.m. deadline. I didn't check to see who answered or not. But everything is going along fine. The calculation for the breakfast, I mean, Christine was so efficient. It seemed like $35.64, and she wanted to actually carry out. You know, she said she wanted to give people. Well, she wrote it out to add the cents to $105.64. As I spoke with Arlene, and we decided we didn't want LeVar walking around with a bunch of change. So it's going to be meaning everyone will get $105 for the 2 days, or 3 days rather, for dinner. Although on Friday, the station will be hosting us. So if people want to get dinner outside of that, you know, they're certainly free to do that. Other than that, everything is going well. There are a few people who have not booked yet who promised to book their flights. So that's about all that I have to report. You know, so we'll see how it goes. Other than that, everything is great. You guys got copies of the spreadsheet of the orientation, the orientation details, I should say. It's going pretty smoothly.
I'm sorry, Neil. What spreadsheet is that, and what's on it?
It's just a spreadsheet of people's arrival times.
From Christine. Yes, I did.
Yes. So Christine and I worked on that, and she sent that out to the group. There's an extra column in there that I will add the people who will be picking folks up, those who want to be picked up. So I'll update that with the phone numbers just in case.
Did you?
Pardon?
Did you get a? Never mind. It's not appropriate for on the air. I'll find out privately. What time is the? Are we supposed to be at the station?
Well, they had said, 7 or 8 o'clock. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember what it was. It's in the minutes someplace. I'd have to go and dig up the minutes.
Anybody else remember?
There's no law that it's put my mind to.
I mean, we, you know, we often do like 6 o'clock, but that's just a guess.
Yeah, just wait. I think it's either 7 or 8, but that's critical for the agenda, right, for tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. When did we decide that? Oh goodness. Okay. I'm just trying to.
Hello, Alonzo's here.
Let me sort by Tracy's name.
Hi, Alonzo.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. That I can answer. Does anyone have any other questions?
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like it, so I guess, Neil, we should give you a second to look for what you're looking for.
I'm looking for your minute to see what time it says. You want to go on to something else? I just said, I'm looking for your minute to see what time it says. You want to do the rest of the agenda, or we could just pause it in some place?
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a sort of lack of logistical hysteria, which is really good, a couple days before the meeting. I'm glad. Okay, the second item that we kind of wanted to touch on was the agenda.
Oh, before we go to that, there's one more item for the logistics.
Okay.
Which is security, which we haven't really discussed.
You know, that's true. Okay, good.
I think we should have somebody there. John L. Mellor had suggested the fellow who did it down in Washington, who is a very different style than the fellow who did it in New York last time. And I don't have any strong feelings about it one way or the other, but this is a tall, thin guy with a bow tie as opposed to a kind of large, kind of burly guy with a without a bow tie. but I think we should have it, and I any thoughts about that?
What do you think?
Well, I'll ask the question, which is, you know, the financial question. Do we have any idea how much this costs us and, you know, what that adds to the meeting costs?
Depends on what the bow tie looks like.
I don't imagine they get more than $30 an hour. That's still a lot of money, but $20, I really don't know, to tell you the truth.
You know, this is LaVarne. You know, I'm not sure we paid for that as Grigsby just took care of that. I think maybe he took care of it.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Out of his own pocket or out of the station's pocket?
I think so. Yeah, he still hasn't filed an expense report for our per diem. He took care of that too. I've asked him to, but.
Right.
Well, I mean, is there any kickback to the idea that we do need to do this for the meeting in New York? I mean, if we do, then I think the coordinating committee is just going to say, yes, we need to make arrangements for that service as economically as we can, and that's what we'll do. I mean, is there anyone who would say something different?
I definitely think we should do it.
I don't think we'll need it. This is me.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay. Well, I'm deferring, not having been to a PNB meeting in New York before. I don't know the answer to the question. But it sounds like the consensus amongst the other folks here, except for Nia, is that it's probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I think the guy we had previously, George, was a guy from who someone at the hotel recommended him.
Uh-huh.
I think that that's how we got that guy. He was going to take the burly type, and I thought he was fine. But I definitely think that
after being assaulted by the more passionate people there in the audience, we definitely need security.
Which day would he be most useful?
I guess on Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
We're not Friday night.
Yeah.
Who was assaulted? Who got assaulted?
All of us got assaulted, Nia. The whole group got assaulted. Let's don't get too far off in denial, please.
First of all,
this is Tracy.
Go ahead. Tracy, I have a right to speak. I don't know what that means. I mean, people were yelling, but I don't know of anybody getting assaulted, so I asked who got assaulted.
Everybody.
Physically assault?
Yeah, assault is assault. It doesn't have to be somebody physically hitting you. Assault is assault, and that was assault.
I'm going to intervene as chair and say that we don't need to agree as a committee that the action is necessary. The majority of the committee is making a recommendation. So I don't think we have to, browbeat the person who is disagreeing. That's not really the point. The majority of the committee is agreeing that they think this is something that we should do. In terms of the money that we're spending, I'm wondering whether the guy who was used in D.C., who apparently people are pretty positive about, and I don't remember it as being problematic, could perhaps make a recommendation for somebody in New York. I don't think we would necessarily want to pay for someone's train ticket up.
Well, I think what you said before was we'll make the recommendation and then somehow, I guess between Arlene and myself, we'll get somebody. As cheaply as possible that we think can do the job.
Okay, I think for the record, we should probably just have a vote about the coordinating committee endorsing that recommendation. So the motion is that the coordinating committee recommends a security person for at least the Saturday and Sunday open sessions of the board, and instructs the executive director and the chair of the PNB to go about doing so in the most economical manner possible. Does that work?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And as I recall, you said one of the reasons why you selected this hotel was because of that need.
The Beekman?
Well, a hotel. One of the considerations was that.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Okay, well, that's the motion on the floor, so let's take a quick roll call just to sort of make it an official recommendation. Arlene Engelhart?
Yes.
Leslie Williams?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Alonzo Brown?
Yes.
Mia Bediako?
No.
Tracy Rosenberg? I'll vote yes. Is there anyone else on the call whose name I haven't called?
Yes.
And who's that?
Richard, yes.
Richard, I'm sorry, yes. All right.
There's one other thing before we leave logistics. It was probably handled, but I don't remember. We have a separate room for the executive session?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. That's all.
Okay, so the motion passes, and we're going to move the agenda into the agenda for the New York meeting.
Can I mention one other thing, Tracy, related to that?
Yeah.
I talked to John today, and he was working on having that room set up in case we needed it as a backup during the meeting, too.
Okay, great. Okay, so in terms of the agenda, where we left it at a previous meeting was that we decided to go for an extended executive session on Friday morning from 9 to 1 or 9 to 1:30 as needed. do a brief executive open session Friday afternoon. Then we'll be going to the station. And that we would be in open session for the duration of the meeting with the option to add a short executive session Sunday morning if the need is there. I think I'm stating that correctly.
Yeah.
We also voted that we would not engage in any mixed topic discussions, breakouts, workshops, et cetera, in this particular meeting. So I guess my question is whether there's any other sort of agenda preparation work that we need to do. We've certainly had people at open meetings of the PNB and on email suggest some financial focus to the meeting. Is there anything that the coordinating committee wants to do with regard to those recommendations?
Well, I mean, we need to have a report back from Levon.
Yeah.
A discussion about the financial situation early on in the meeting. And I don't know, Levon, you want to do that in part in executive session, in part in open session, or all
both.
In all?
I think we should both. You know, we can start in executive and then go to open, absolutely.
Okay. How much time do you think you need on Friday morning?
I would think that, probably... I'm not looking at what we have set out, but at least an hour, hour and a half on the session. I don't have the format in front of me.
Most of that discussion should be an open session.
Yes, but even in closed, it's like we need to talk about in terms of people can explore ways to to handle our ongoing financial. Recommendations in terms of how we've handled our ongoing cash shortfalls and where it's specifically actions that we're taking to improve them.
And how much time do you think you need for that in the executive session?
I would say at least an hour.
Mm-hmm.
At least an hour, okay. And
I would say with the session we'd be lucky if we cover it in an hour.
Right.
Yeah, let's say an hour and a half.
Okay.
My thought was to begin with Ricardo and try to complete some of the decisions about the legal cases that we need to make. There's two outstanding ones. I shouldn't think it would take more than an hour and a half also, but it could be contentious. So that would be my suggestion, was to begin with, say, an hour and a half of legal matters. Like, I haven't spoken to Ricardo, so I don't really
know. We actually got five cases that are actually outstanding. I'm not saying they all need updating, but...
I'm thinking about the ones we need action on, that we have to make a decision on.
Yeah.
This is LeVar. Also, I think we need to establish some ground rules on these discussions, because what happens is that it keeps going back and forth, like, particularly on legal issues. You lay out what the case is. Each person present their position, but arguing over the position is not going to help. Just, state your position, and then we move on. And, that can work on every topic, but particularly the legal topic. The sides are established, and I think we just need to state, each person get an opportunity to state in their position, and then we need to make a decision, or usually it's not even a motion. It's just the fact that we're moving forward on something. So I don't know. We just need to think about that. It's getting a little long. And also, since I'm talking about this, we need to get a timekeeper that's fair. The timekeeper that we've been using has not been fair, has given longer times to some and shorter times to the other, and it's very frustrating.
I hadn't noticed that, but then I...
Okay. This is Tracy just putting myself on the stack. Anybody else want to weigh in?
Nia?
Hello?
Nia?
Okay, Nia?
Yeah.
Okay, Nia, go ahead.
Okay. Now, I just looked through the email. We didn't establish time, because when we do the agenda, if we want to be at the station at 7 or whatever time that we say, then that should be. I'll just communicate that to Berthold and Indra.
Okay, great.
Well, that sounds about right, 7 o'clock, and which means we would have to break the meeting at 6, give people an hour to get downtown. It's pretty straightforward, I believe, from you just get on the Lexington Avenue line and go downtown. Is that right?
I'm going to try to arrange to get rides from the hotel downtown.
Okay, great.
Okay, so that suggests we would have an open session on Friday, something like 3 to 6 or in that vicinity. Okay, I'm going to call on myself with two points.
Let's plan it for an open session, but if we really do need to extend the executive session, I think that was considered as a possibility, that we don't jam ourselves in.
Okay. Fair enough. So I'm going to say two things about the agenda. The first thing that I wanted to mention is my sense of it is that if we do legal first and finances second, that based on the previous executive sessions that I've sat through, the legally based executive sessions, especially with the contents that we have planned, tend to go on for a sustained period of time. And they're also not subjects from which the board is easily retracted. So I would advocate that perhaps we do the financial material first and the legal material second. The second point is a request, which is I realize that we will have in the agenda an opportunity to look at the budgets for all five stations, whether they're ready or not. Mm-hmm. I'd like to suggest that I believe that we will need some time in executive session to look at KPFA's budget in particular, which will not be ready, of course, but which I think does require a little bit of board review in terms of where things are likely to stand in about a week. Obviously, that would be part of LaVarne's presentation, but I'm just, you know, asking because I know there's a lot of issues at all the stations. But I think that one definitely needs to have some time reserved for it.
So maybe 2 hours or 2 hours and 15 minutes for finances first, and then an hour and 45 minutes for legal stuff. And if we can't conclude the legal stuff in that time, we'd have to take it into open session.
I'd like to get back to what
LaVarne said, because I'd like your advice, really, about how to do this, because, indeed, we do spend a lot of time people saying the same thing over again, and everybody feeling the need to speak, even though often it's clear that the vote isn't going to change or significantly. What I've been doing is sort of, you know, everybody gets to speak once for 2 minutes before anybody else gets to speak again. What I heard LaVarne saying was that nobody gets to speak again.
No, not really. No, get to speak over and over again.
No more than twice for everybody.
Yeah, something like that, yes.
The other thing I thought we might do, and I've occasionally tried to do it, I haven't really consistently, is to sort of do a pro and a con, and, you know, make a pro stack and a con stack and go back and forth with those. My thought was that might, because people do want to respond to other things that people say, and that's perfectly sensible. It really is a dialogue going on. So what do you think about that, particularly on these legal issues, I think? Any one of you give me some feedback about what you think about doing it that way.
I think it sounds fun. You know, that's just my opinion, but, you know, you guys can decide how you really want to run it, but that sounds fine to me.
Yeah. I think the position that we should go back to doing that, George. I think what the problem is, if the time is up, then the time is up. What tends to happen is that people that we have a point of information, and then, you know, some folks are allowed to speak while others aren't allowed to speak. So if the time is up, the discussion is closed. Unless there's a motion to extend time that is passed, then that should be it. In terms of people repeating, you know, that's just the nature of this place. They have their 2 minutes. You know, they say whatever they want to say. But doing the pro and the con, I think that will help to alleviate some of the issues. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Richard.
Did I hear Richard?
I waited for the chair to tell me I could talk.
Sorry. Tracy had an absent-minded moment. You can talk.
I agree with Nia and George on that pro and con back and forth thing. One thing, talking about that, the timekeeping needs to be tighter, and B, there's a lot of... there are a lot of people that come in and make points of order that aren't points of order and points of information that aren't points of information just to come in and say their little 2 bits. And, some folks talk half a dozen or more times. And I think it's just incumbent on the chair to rule in on that a little tighter. And especially some of these things that may get...
This is Nia Tracy.
Yeah.
And speaking of getting a little bit heated, I think we really this actually is for George, is that we have this zero tolerance motion, and people are saying that they were assaulted here in New York, and I think that board members need to comport themselves properly. This hollering and screaming and using expletives, I think, is just totally out of order. I think that needs to be managed a little bit tighter, George.
Got it.
People need to move to order when that's happening. First of all, shouldn't be using expletives during the board meeting.
This is Lauren. I don't understand Nia's point. She said the people in the audience who are doing this.
I said board members.
Okay. Well, let me say this. I think this is shifting a bit from a conversation about the agenda into sort of a code of conduct conversation, which is a perfectly valid conversation to have. I don't know that it's really the coordinating committee that does that, or at least does that without some instruction from the PNB to work on that. So I'm thinking that maybe we sort of need to wrap this up and sort of, you know, put it to the side as maybe something that we can take on at some point, but not necessarily tonight, because code of conduct issues are complicated.
Yes. That's fine with me. I got the response that I wanted about, and I think I will do it that way as back and forth.
Okay. Then would people object if I move the agenda forward?
Well, I think there's more to be said about the open agenda. If assuming we get to the open agenda, well, whenever we get to the open agenda, my sense is we have some things that have to be on there. There's a whole bunch of stuff to be brought forward. But there's also the reports from Olene and from LaVarne, and my sense is they should probably be at the beginning of the open meeting. Probably Arlene first, and then LaVarne. Kind of state of the network kind of talks. And then I'll just need to find out. I mean, LaVarne, you already said you need about an hour and a half, you think, for the open finance discussion.
Right.
And Arlene, how much time do you think you need for your report?
I can give my report in, I'm sure, less than 30 minutes.
Right. You know, that's another, okay, yeah, so I'll schedule that for about an hour.
Okay, well, this is basically with just an observation about, you know, our dynamics, and I'm not necessarily saying that you shouldn't put these reports at the top. I mean, there's lots of reasons why one would, but what I have noticed and what I think is likely to happen is that the question and answer period following the reports will become an opportunity to bring up everything but the kitchen sink.
Yes.
And will basically detract the board into whatever the issue of the moment is, or motions will get flung upon the table that we will then have to deal with. In other words, the structure that we use, because of the way that we use it, committee reports become much more than committee reports. And I think some clarity about that and what that's going to do to the rest of our agenda, if in fact we give a crap about the rest of our agenda, and maybe we don't, I think is worth maybe thinking about for a second, because that's my sense of how the committee reports generally get used. They get used to bring up a variety of issues that are not on the agenda.
Well, I mean, in a sense, that's fine. I mean, a committee report is supposed to bring up whatever the committee chair and is reporting back from the committee, and that's appropriate for the agenda. But the reports back, but you're right about the reports back from Arlene and from LeVon, they do tend to become in the question period kitchen sinks. What's your suggestion? What do you think? How do you think we ought to do it?
I'm not sure that I have one. It was more of an observation than a concrete suggestion, but there could be a case to be made for scheduling them at some point, not necessarily first thing at the meeting, but to proceed with some agenda-related business for some brief period of time before turning to them. I don't know. Are there items on our printed agenda that we would prefer not to walk away from this meeting unresolved?
There are some, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully all that unfinished business.
Yeah, there's a lot of unfinished business. There's some stuff on new business that is also... I know there's a lot of energy behind.
I think we could make a case for spending 2 or 3 hours on at least clearing up old business before we turn to the reports. I mean, I don't think it would be the end of the world. I'm not necessarily 100% convinced, but I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Could that maybe be on a Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I think
and then actually start the beginning of the meeting with the reports and stuff on Saturday morning?
I think it could. I also think it could backfire, and we could spend all Friday in executive session, but if we do, then I guess we do.
Well, then, the open session is going to be a rolling open session anyway, so, you know, it's a sequence of things to happen, and they'll happen in that sequence, but if we don't get to the thing on Friday afternoon, we'll do it on Saturday morning, and I think what you're saying makes sense. I like it. I think it's a good idea. One of the things I wanted to do is to give people a chance to actually have their motions heard and discussed by the board. I like it. I think that's where we should begin with unfinished business, and probably the entire Friday afternoon, and then begin with the reports on Saturday morning.
How many public comment sessions do we need to have?
You're hitting a dog. Hitting a dog. Okay. Well, the telephone connection.
We usually have a half hour for every open session that we have. I'm not sure we need to have one Friday afternoon.
Can I have him call you back?
We certainly want one. We might want to have one Saturday afternoon and another one Saturday evening.
That's an idea. And then one on Sunday.
One on Sunday, yeah.
What do the rest of y'all think?
Okay. Well, this sounds like we're getting close to recommending this. Does anyone, like, firmly object to what's being put out or want to force this to a vote, or are we pretty much in a no objections place?
Okay, good. Okay. I'll write it up that way.
Okay, good. Then we're all on the same page. Yep. So are there any other concerns about the agenda? Yes.
Public sessions on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Is this on the public comment issue? Well, Saturday will theoretically be an open agenda, will be an open session all day, 9 to 12,
no, 7 to 10
or something.
I'm sorry, I was still talking about public comment. Two public comments on Saturday and one on Sunday. Is that what we're agreeing to?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, and we're talking about trying to get to our unfinished business on Friday if we can get out of executive session.
Right.
I like that.
Okay. Well, that seems like a fairly formed agenda, or as formed an agenda as we go into these meetings with.
Good. I'm happy.
This is Nia Tracy.
Yes.
Yes. For the committee report. Sorry. I have the document retention and destruction policy from the audit committee, and that's going to take a little while. I'm going to send it out tomorrow. I'm on my way to dinner now, so I can't do it now. So the directors will have a chance to take a look at it before next, whatever, Friday. Could we do the report?
Yeah.
We'll probably need maybe 20 minutes.
Okay.
20 minutes.
I'll send out a notice to the board and ask the committee chairs to send in as much advanced stuff as they can and some ideas how much time they need, and we'll schedule it appropriately.
I'm going on mute because I'm out now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And you're talking about having the committee chairs send in any motions or stuff?
Yeah. They should let us know in advance.
Yeah, if
they can.
Yeah, Christine had a deadline of the 22nd, but I don't think anybody met it. And speaking on behalf of the coordinating committee, I certainly didn't. So,
yeah.
So we'll probably need to do it between now and then.
I had a motion that I wanted. I've been trying to get through the finance committee, but it never got there. So the motion that I would like the coordinating committee, one of you guys, to move forward is on the PNB meetings for the budget, and that the budget is that we would have the meeting. Then after the January meeting, the next meeting would be in May, and then the next meeting would be in September, and with the contingency based on cash flow could perhaps be pushed out to October again. Just a real simple motion.
If I understood you correctly, that's only three meetings. That's
yes.
A bylaws change. It's not a simple motion.
Well, what kind of motion would it require? Because it also, it's like due to the fact that a cash flow issue, this is what I've done for the plan, that, you know, this would be in place if there are extreme cash flow issues and there are exigent circumstances. So how should
we can't do it. We can't have a motion that is opposed to the bylaws. Yes.
Well, then
I object to that.
Richard, hold on. One person at a time. LaVon first, then Richard, then we'll go back to George.
I'm going to have to at least say this. I mean, I've been saying this for the last many months, and I said it at the last PNB meeting, that due to cash flow, due to exigent circumstances, the board may be, the foundation may be forced to substitute one of the in-person meetings or a teleconference meeting because we do not have, because of cash flow issues that have continued. I've said it, I've talked about it, so how should we do this? I need your help. How should I frame this?
Okay, we have a stack, Richard, then George.
Yep.
Richard?
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with what LaVarne just said, but the bylaws can't just we're not just tied to those bylaws and they take us off the cliff. I mean, before we go off the cliff, we can cut those ropes and step back away from it and do what we need to do. And if our finances are going to be worse than they were this year, which they probably will be, then it will be a quick decision to say we're in big trouble. We can't afford to do this. And that might be not be the only thing that gets cut. I think to just say that, well, it's in the bylaws and we have to do it, that's incorrect. I think that the business of the foundation rules, not the bylaws. Now, the bylaws are pretty doggone, you know, tough. But the business of the foundation, or in this case, the lack of business, that's what's going to rule, because if we can't do it, we can't do it.
Okay. So the cost of these meetings is approximately one-third of a day's operating expenses for the network. The notion that somehow that's financial exigency to not have a meeting, that financial exigency causes us to not have a meeting, I think is just nonsense, really nonsense. People, if people want to have only three meetings a year, it's a make a bylaws amendment and we'll have only three meetings a year. But to put a, you know, to use metaphors like we're going off a cliff because we're going to spend a third of a day's income on an in-person meeting, it's just, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, make the argument for why you really think it, but to use financial exigency as a means of violating the bylaws in that case, you just can't make the case really.
You can
Let's try to have a stack. George spoke, then LaVarne, then Richard.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, George, and that's exactly right. And I think instead of just saying that, I should say that once the Pacifica Foundation's payables exceed $500,000, we should consider doing teleconference meetings versus in-person meetings. And our national office payables are in excess of $500,000, approaching $1 million. So that's something concrete that's not just like you said, and you're absolutely right, not just in exigent circumstances. We have payables in excess of $500,000. Or even we can say if our national office would mean the combined payables like Democracy Now, insurance, the cost to our travel agent with someone, you know, this stuff was sent out last month, that if it exceeds $250,000, then we should consider not postponing the meeting, but having a teleconference, a webinar, and instead of the in-person, and still like you said, do the meeting, which should be done in April. But maybe I can say that as an option, because we need to work this together as a group. We don't need to be at each other and saying this is crazy. We need to see what we can do together to see how we can do this, because the issues that is with the payables approaching $1 million and with the payables including our travel agent, you know, it's ludicrous to book more travel when we haven't paid for the prior. So can we put something in there about payable limits or past a certain amount? What do you think,
I'm going to go to Richard, who's waiting next, and I assume George is going to have a response. So let's do it that way.
Okay.
Nia Tracy, after Richard.
Yeah.
Well, after me.
Yes, Richard, George, Nia, then probably me. But go ahead, Richard.
We're going to speak once.
Okay, I think that when we reach that time to make the decision, it's made for whatever that decision. To anticipate what that decision might be, we have no idea. You know, and that's really kind of a waste of time. But there are instances where it's not crazy. There probably are instances where it is crazy, but there are instances where it's not crazy, and we ought to leave the door open for it. And like I said, we're not gonna argue the point tonight for what might be happening in 6 months, because I don't think any of us know what's going to happen in 6 months. But we definitely need to leave the door open.
Okay, I think George was next on the stack.
Yeah, again, we're talking about a third of a day's of expenses for the network. Whether you call it financial exigency or some arbitrary number like $500,000 in money that we owed, you're pointing at something to save you the money, which can't save you any significant amount of money and can't fix the problem at all. My feeling is, and the reason why I think these meetings are important, I don't feel strongly about three or four, is that one of the things, and pretty much the only thing, that creates some glue in this network, that creates some bonds between people, that gets us out of, you know, shouting at each other on the phone, and gives us a chance to talk at some length outside of meetings, to do the kind of things that sort of knit together a board, and allow us to resolve issues in ways that you can't just do on a phone. So that's my sense of the value of them, and if you don't think they're valuable, make a bylaws amendment and we'll only have three. But to use a reason which is really specious to do it, it just bothers me, it offends me to have to argue about that.
Sorry.
It's a third of a day's expenses.
On the stack.
Okay, we don't have any time limits on this meeting, so just as a chair's note, and I know there's people on the stack, and we'll get to it, I would like this meeting to resolve no later than 7 p.m. We do have one more agenda item, so let's let this go until about 6:40, 6:45, which is about 10 minutes, 10 to 15, and at that point we're going to have to move on. I heard Nia, I heard Richard, and I'd like to put myself on the stack. So Nia, go ahead.
Okay. I know we talked about not repeating, but I do agree with George in the sense that if it's one thing about an in-person meeting, that people are more civil to each other. Even to me. But after the meetings are over, for the in-person meeting. However, I also agree with LaVarne that if the money isn't, if we don't have the money, then we shouldn't have the meeting. But to put a limit on it like that, that might not be the way to do. The easiest thing to do would be to do a bylaws change. Either we have 2 per year, 3 per year. My thing is personal, which somebody almost killed me for saying this. I think, one second, the fire truck went by. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I really think that we only need one per year, and that's when the new board members are being installed. But we don't really need four. So let's do a bylaws amendment in order to change that, but to make a motion to say that we only have, we're going to do it on X number, we have to take them case by case in order not to violate the bylaws.
Okay, I think I'll Richard is next.
To the stack, please.
Gotcha. Richard is next.
My turn?
Yeah.
I tried to leave the door open, and George came in and insulted everybody by saying that, you're only looking at the saving money. We don't know what we'll be looking at. We're not doing it now. When it's done, it'll be done for whatever reason it's done. You know, we may be in World War III by then. Who knows what'll be going on? But to say that any reason is an excuse and not a reason is not, that's not genuine to everybody who's thinking about what they want to think about. That's prejudicial to what's bothering you, George. I'm not arguing about the whether it's money or whether it's tanks in the street, but it may have to be limited.
Okay, I heard Alonzo was next on the stack.
Yeah. When would these ideas
be introduced? Because we're not going to solve this problem on the phone. Am I correct?
No, and we would only be bringing the recommendation of the coordinating committee forward to the full board anyway. I mean, that's all we have the power to do.
Okay, one of the things I was thinking about, we have a lot of work to have done, and I don't think four members of each station is going to be good enough. I think six would be better. We have six members of the board, and then they show up every 6 months. So we'd have three would be attending the meetings instead of four, and those three would meet every 6 months.
LaVarne?
Okay, and after LaVarne, I'm putting myself on the stack. So, okay, LaVarne.
Okay, I think these are all good ideas, and that, you know, as George said, you know, I don't think it's specious when, but I'm not insulted, that when we actually, you know, have not paid our travel agent and we're booking more travel, that's what the issue is there. But regardless of that, you know, things are going to improve. That, you know, maybe I will just introduce again in my discussion that there is a flow problem. And of course, I'm echoing again. Now I'm not. Without going through a bylaws amendment, that I will put on the table that we might have to push out a board meeting and have it teleconference. If our cash flow demands that we are booking another conference without having paid for the prior conference, so I'm going to ask that because you know I'm just sitting with the fact and I understand all the issues, but I think that everyone has a legitimate point, George, and to say that I'm one of the ones who is strongly and try to support these bylaws and make them happen. But also, we want to be able to survive. So, you know, I'll just put it as part of my position that this is what I would recommend.
Okay. This is Tracy. I have something to put into the conversation here. I mean, two things. First, I think that I'm not as convinced that there can't be a scenario where the board can, on a one-time basis, choose to waive the bylaws. I have said that before, and I will say that again, that most boards of directors apportion to themselves the power to occasionally, on a one-time basis, state that it is in the best interest of the organization not to follow a particular bylaw clause. It's unfortunate, but that is what the board of directors is trying to do, you know, feels that they have to do, and of course in a, you know, membership-elected board scenario, which is what we have, the members of the foundation are perfectly free to hold us accountable for that decision, and perhaps they would. The second thing, and this is going to support the other side of the argument because I'm torn here, is that the reason for our financial problems is not the number of board meetings that we have. George is correct about that. Our cash flow problems specifically have to do with stations that can't meet their financial obligations in a variety of ways and are starving the national office. That's why we have these payables. And really, the important thing here is not to cancel meetings to accommodate that situation. It's to get that situation under control and over now. So I think we're making a concession here to a kind of financial idiocy that we simply, as a board of directors, have to not continue. Having 3 out of 5 stations not pay central services will not be a sustainable model, whether or not we have 3 board meetings or 4 board meetings. It's still going to leave us entirely screwed up. So I think maybe there's a cart before the horse aspect of we need to fix our financial problems, not niggle with the number of board meetings. So I guess what I would kind of say is I think, I don't care at all if we have 3 board meetings next year. I think it's far from the issue that we most need to focus on or prioritize, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I hear you. Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the stack? Or did I kill the stack? Everybody passed out. That's the end of it. Oh my God, the last word. Like you ever get the last word at the Pacifica meeting. That's funny. Well, I guess then the question is, what are we doing? LaVarne, do you want to bring that motion forward for a coordinating committee vote? Do you want to sort of retract? What do you want to do with it?
If retract means not consider the motion, then let's do that. I mean, it's all, like I said, my resolution is just to put it in my report again. So that was an option. But, you know, again, the point that we, in fact, this is what I've told LSB members when they bring this forward is that, you know, and also union groups who have brought this forward is that the way the union install their officers is through an election that union members actually pay for. And the way we install our officers is through an election and through seating at a national board meeting. So, you know, I'm definitely for the board meeting, but also that, like you're saying, you know, three of the five stations have not contributed to the cost to support the network, and therefore, and one of the costs of supporting the network are these board meetings. So, you know, I'll go with the flow, but just let everyone know.
Okay. Well. Obviously, the contents of your report are entirely up to you, and of course, there is the possibility of another board member bringing the motion forward during the meeting itself.
Okay.
And probably somebody will. Okay. All right. So we're just going to leave that item discussed and unacted on, and that's going to move us to the Houston meeting. Earlier this month, we appointed Richard Uzel, the point person for the upcoming Houston meeting in January, because he's the coordinating committee member from Houston, who's not an officer. And it sounded like Richard wanted to redo that decision. So, Richard?
The option that I suggested about, going to the retreat center. That's off the table because the retreat center worked the weekend that we had a shot at. And I'm going to still help with that, with putting that together, but I'm asking, and I've asked Bill this, I'm not just sneaking this past Bill. I'm asking that Bill be considered the point person from the board, and, you know, we'll work with non-board people, obviously, to put the thing together. But he's agreed to do that if y'all are willing to exchange me for him. I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing in January, and I'm concerned that I may be off working someplace.
Okay. So are there any objections to Richard's suggestion to exchange him for Bill?
Yeah.
Carry on.
I'm just kidding. Please move forward.
Okay. Well, I mean, the only mild objection is that we might then demand that Bill occasionally come to a coordinating committee meeting as we get closer to the date of the meeting. Would that be okay, Richard?
I think that would be okay with him. But, you know, he, like the rest of us, would love to have less meetings. But
sorry. Just from a practical point of view, you know, having the point person not at the meetings has a confusing sound to it.
Right. He would be willing to carry that lightning rod.
Okay. Then unless there is a strong, serious objection, I think we can consider that done. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So unless there's any new business that anyone wants to introduce, I think all that is left for us to do is set the date of the next meeting. I'm going to presume that stuff about starting to look for hotels in Houston is not going to happen until October.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. We usually meet on the first Wednesday of the month. So the question for everybody is, would October 6th be too soon?
I'll be in Europe.
Okay. Does anybody else have a conflict? Let me go look at the calendar.
I can probably tune in, although I'll be on the road still at that point.
I'll be on the road.
All right. Well, it doesn't sound great so far, so let's see what we got. Okay, we're scheduled for October 16th. Okay, so we're tentatively scheduled for October 6th, and it sounds like no one's going to want to do it. The next Wednesday, all the rest of the Wednesdays are filled up in the month with the BAI LSB and the KTFT LSB. We could meet on Thursday, October 7th. Is that any better for anyone?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Then the other option is we could either grab Tuesday, October 19th or Thursday, October 21st, which would be way out of sequence for us, but not necessarily bad.
Plenty of time to talk about the next meeting. Either date's okay with me.
Okay, based on the fact that the Finance Committee tends to really, really want the Tuesdays,
yeah,
I'm going to suggest that we take October 21st, which is a Thursday.
Sounds good.
Any objections? Okay, then that will be the date of our next meeting, and I will see you all in a week.
That was the 19th, is that what
you said? No, we decided to go with the 21st because the Finance Committee in general likes to meet on Tuesdays, and we thought they would probably get annoyed. So it's going to be Thursday the 21st.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Then I think we are in adjournment.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Tracy.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.